one thing about it is, as kids, and I think maybe most of you went caroling around the neighborhood, but as kids, we sang all these Christmas carols, sang the first verse. So we know the first we know that first verse when we grow up to be old adults. But you got to look at the book when you get to the second, third verses. Anyway, former members in our neighborhood are leading the little choir that came by our house, and Mike and Keisha Little, and anyway, they have made themselves very welcome in the neighborhood because they go around and help people in the neighborhood, cut down all tree limbs, pick up things, help them. So, and we have a number of people that need that. Let's look at prayer requests. And I want to suggest, and I'm going to start with some of the prayer requests that I suggest we take a look at, or that we make, because we're in an important time of the year, probably one of the best times and one of the worst times of the year, and it's not always good for everybody. Not even always good for those people that think they have it good. In fact, they're probably some of the ones that need help the most. So here I made a list, and you can add to this, and then we need to add to our members. But we need to pray for the military. They can't go home at Christmas, and sometimes, even if they are home, they can't relieve to do anything because they have to be on call within so much time. So pray for the military. And pray for the children worldwide. The children are the least capable of protecting themselves and caring for themselves, although we read and we have watched a movie here in the last couple of weeks about the little girl that was 3 years old and made it out of Germany with little or no help. So it is possible for kids to do, but most kids are not that energetic and certainly wouldn't go through what this little girl did. The school of children. Our granddaughter went to class to enroll for second semester. It was a man dressed as a woman, and she immediately went to another school, another class, and declined to go to that class. And my daughter said, well, it is charter school, but it's still controlled by the county, and we've got to live by the county rules, and so we have to accept the teacher if she's qualified. So it's even in the schools that have tried to avoid it. Want to pray for the working people that have to go to work every day, and those of us that are retired have kind of enjoyed that retirement and gotten out of the habit of having to get up at 5:30 in the morning to make it to work at 8 and do all the things we have to do in between and still put up the Christmas decorations and stuff. So, but the working people are going to be crushed in the next year, and they are right now being crushed. I want to pray for the persecuted for the faith worldwide. We don't even have a slightest idea how many people are being persecuted for their faith. In the foreign countries, they don't tell us what their rules and laws are, and they don't tell us who they punish, who they kill for human parts as they do in China, and they don't even begin to do that. So we need to pray for those people, particularly the poor, the working class. We want to pray for the sick worldwide. Not all countries have the medical system that we do here. And we have, just between you and me, just between visiting two different doctors, we have different medical system here sometimes over the same thing. We need to pray for the children in Wood County Protective Services. Those kids, one of them has no parent. Some of them have parents that are alcoholics and are on drugs, and they're in child protective services because parents are just flat dang good, not even the slightest bit. And they kind of go unprotected, unserved, though you need to pray for all of those in the hospital over the holidays. It's a tough place to be. The hospitals try to get rid of those people that they can by moving them home, getting them home where it's happy and perhaps warm. I want to pray for a group of people that we don't talk much about, and don't even think much about, but I want to pray for those people that are victims of serious crimes. And it happens all the time, and our country is not protecting them, not going to battle for those people, even in Portland that were murdered in the riots back there. They haven't done anything about them. And so it's just time we pray for all these people. So my list is probably much longer if I really go at it. But let's then add to this any prayer requests that you all have. I guess I need to hold this up here because otherwise it goes away. I entitled this The Celebration of Christmas in Joy. Now, I know everybody that goes, you go to the stores now, and the clerks are very making an effort to say Merry Christmas. We didn't have that a couple of years ago, but we're getting an effort from people in the stores. I think they're beginning to realize that it's the Christians that probably don't buy all those expensive gifts. You see, we don't need to buy 14 things for grandchildren. We buy one. And we don't get them big things, and we don't bust the budget for them on Christmas because we probably get them jeans and socks, those things they really love. And that's what we do. So I think the stores are probably beginning to realize that we Christians just don't bust the budget. We don't look at this season as a holiday necessarily just to enjoy, have fun. In 1867, a guy by the name of Charles Dickens was in Boston, and he was reciting a Christmas carol. And he did that all up and down the East Coast. From those readings and everything became kind of the tradition that we've adopted in this country for Christmas. And Charlie Dickens' story, The Christmas Carol, has been adopted by Mickey Mouse. There's Mickey Mouse verses, versions of it. There's Fred Flintstone's version of it. There's a Muppet version of it. There's a TV musical about it. There's a couple of words that are just traditional, Bah Humbug and Tiny Tim. God bless everyone. God bless everyone. And then along comes White Christmas, A Wonderful Life, Rudolph, the Red-Nosed Reindeer. That thing drove me crazy in Sears Roebuck. The Miracle on 34th Street, Home Alone. And if you haven't seen it, you need to see this because Home Alone, Christmas displays out here on the highway. And then there, of course, there's Charlie Brown Christmas. At least Charlie Brown read the Christmas story at the very end. He got it right. We've had a lot of getting and giving gifts and all of that. And there's some things that we just plan. There are some Christmas parties, family get-togethers, and some of those just are really very, very good, but some of them go a little too far. Is Christmas for us, or is Christmas for God? The joy of Christmas. Enjoy Christmas. Just honest, very careful and be sure that we kind of get some. Christ was not born on the 25th for sure. We don't know that. And we probably don't even know the year. And we've numbered our calendar from that imaginary date that we've just guessed that it is. So it's before Christ and after Christ. Birth of the baby is not a baby boy. Jesus Christ is not just the birth of any son, child. It was the birth of God. We have in the past considered two preliminary events that took place prior to the birth of Christ. One was Elizabeth and Zechariah and the baby that was born to her, and the other was the acknowledgement that Mary was going to have a baby. And then the interaction between Elizabeth and Mary. We talked about that. And we talked about how the baby jumped in the womb and how they all had joy. And we talked about how the Holy Spirit indwelled those two women because they bought into, they believed, you see, what was the process. Man has changed up a thing or two about the way Christ was born. We've adopted a whole bunch of new ideas, even have pictures of the babies still in the womb. And I remember in the 1960s, the room they put us in when my wife was with a child and led us this little room off to that real room. Let us hold hands, and I guess supposedly supposed to help something. And you know, when the doctor said, let's go, and 40 people go and wheel her out of the room, there's a certain satisfaction to that because you feel like she's in somebody's care, somebody that really, really cares. And of course, at that time, you don't really think a whole lot about, well, she's in God's care. She's in God's care. It, we should have. But on the birth of Christ was different. And so, I want to turn to Isaiah. Or no, let's not turn to Isaiah. Let me just read this to you. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call him Emmanuel. It so happens that Emmanuel means God with us. And then read Micah 5:1-2. He shall be born in Bethlehem of Judah. And born in Bethlehem of Judah because there was two Bethlehems. So Micah makes it very clear it's Bethlehem of Judah. Psalm 16:11. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is a fullness of joy. In the right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. There's joy in God's works. Baby brings joy. Discussed that last time. We discussed how Elizabeth manifested joy, great joy, up front, knowing that Mary was going to have the baby Christ. Well, now I want to turn to the actual birth, and I'm going to turn to Luke where I have been reading, and I want to read Luke 2:1-7. And I'm going to be reading some more in Luke here, so maybe that, anyway, this is kind of the Christmas story in Luke. And it came to pass those days that they went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth to Judea, into the city of David, which was called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in an inn. I can't imagine how uncomfortable that might be, nor how unclean, how what all sorts of bugs and, oh my, what all could be there. And just certainly not the way we go through it now. So, baby Jesus was born. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, in Luke 2, they start to tell us, in Luke 2, they start to tell us, 8 through 14, they start to tell us what this all means. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angels of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, we've heard that before. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And notice here again what the angel is saying to Elizabeth, what the angel is saying to Zechariah, what the angel is saying to Mary is, this is joy. This is joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Now I want to suggest to you that you see, it's the angels that are making the proclamation. And to who all is this being announced to? Well, the shepherds were about a mile out of Bethlehem, really, in the Tower of Migdal. Migdal was a two-story tower that the shepherds for the priests cared for the lambs. And so if the lambs were birthed in that field, then they very carefully carried those lambs into the bottom floor of that Tower of Migdal, and they wrapped the baby lamb in torn priests' investments. That's what they did there. Now, those were the priests that are about a mile away, and so if that's the case, then they would kind of know what the priestly robes looked like and what the priestly roles were for the lambs, because they were trying to protect the lambs to keep them from being blemished any way whatsoever. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to men. Well, who are they talking to? How many angels do you think there were? Do you think there were 450? No. There was just a few that could live in the tower in top. This is a tower where other events have taken place. A death took place there. This is a tower where there was some other activity. So it was the priestly tower. Well, he was trying to get the shepherds excited. Now, I know if you look at the nativity scenes around, there's all those wise men. But they ain't not there. And they weren't told by this. Now, they maybe got it from the star, maybe like the king should have. King Herod should have got it from the star, from the Bible itself. They didn't get it from the angelic host proclaim. The shepherds got it. And we're only talking about 12 or 14, maybe 30 at max, shepherds. And they've got a whole host of angels. God wants them to know. He wants them to know that there's a baby born. And so we go on with the story. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Well, gee, let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, and which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad, saying which was told them concerning this child. So they went and told. They are the publicists. They are the CBS. They are the radio. They are the ones that write the letters and tell the whole world that Christ is born. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary, oh Mary, what a delightful girl she is. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She didn't publish it. She didn't, probably had some hesitancy about publishing it, but she kept what the angels told her about what she had just done. Because they told her what the angelic host proclaimed were saying. They told her, I'm sure. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. Now, I want to turn just a minute here to one more message here. And I don't know that you need to turn to it because it's a very short verse. I'll just read it. Who is this baby? Who is this baby? Behold, the virgin shall be with child. Matthew 1:23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel. Being interpreted, God with us. We all understand that promise, that God with us, the most prevalent promise of God that's repeated more than any other promise in the whole Bible. God with us. So, God with us brings joy. He says so when he tells Zechariah. He says so when he talks, when the angels talk to Mary. He says so when he talks to Elizabeth. He says so to the shepherds. We just read it. Jesus isn't just any baby. He brings great joy. There was joy in the shepherds, but as Luke 2:17 says, they all recognized that Jesus was God, was God's Son, the Christ, the Messiah. But furthermore, and I read the Magnificat last time, Mary's Magnificat, and she says in and she gained and gathered strength. If you've read that Magnificat, as she went through it, she really was very humble in the outset of the Magnificat, and as she read through it, she gained strength. James 3:13-18. James 3, and actually 17 is the main one, but anyway. Who is wise man, endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying strife in your hearts, glory not and lie against the truth. And you see, right from the outset, who is a wise man? One that believes Christ, which is what Elizabeth did. And then he goes on and says, if you have bitter envying, she could have been bitter that she wasn't the one to be the mother of Christ, which we talked about last time, but she wasn't. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie against the truth. This is wisdom. This wisdom descendeth not from, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle and easy, and to be entreated full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And so one of the first things that we can see from what's going on in this dialogue that is going on between the angels and Elizabeth is joy defeats jealousy. We see that right there. So, what else does joy do? Joy in Christ gives us the strength, stand, the power, the love, the root to be stable, the defeat of jealousy, and the scope of salvation. God is with us. God is with us when we are sad. God is with us when we are tired. God is with us when we are sick. God is with us when we are weak. With us when we are happy. God is with us when we are joyful. He's with us when we are obedient. He's with us when we are hungry. When we are weary, He is with us. On Sunday, He is with us. On Monday, He is with us. Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, He is with us. We ought to be celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. We ought to be celebrating it every day. It's not just one day. It's every day that we ought to be celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. It's not just a day for us to enjoy, to celebrate and joy. It's not just a day for us to have fun, parties. Please note that from this whole season series that I've gone through, that Elizabeth believed, Mary believed, Zechariah believed, the shepherds believed. Now, I don't know about the shepherds, but Elizabeth was indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Zechariah was indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Mary was obviously indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Indwelling us. And Joseph too, back in the back part of this, yes. So, should we be singing White Christmas? Should we be singing some of those Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer songs? Or should we be celebrating Christ, celebrating the birth of Christ, celebrating His coming in joy? Because we're enjoying what? Everything that God has done. Everything God does. Everything that we have been the beneficiaries of, we should be celebrating in joy. In great celebration that Christ really came. That He came and He came to save us because, what? We believe in Him. Came to save us because we believe in Him. This whole story tells us and teaches us that importance of believers is so important that we be believers. And our problems here are right now that we face a lot of things that are going on in this world. Ruth did buy me 2 volumes of book. They're each 200 and some pages long about what's going on in our world, especially behind the scenes. And that's discouraging. But Christ gives us encouragement. He gives us joy, really almost no matter what. And if you really think about it, and if you really think about what's gone on in the past, how, I'm going to forget his name, the German that was hung, how he went to his death in great joy because he attempted to try to bomb Hitler and they caught him, but he was trying to make a change. But he was a Christian, Bonhoeffer. He went. And then when you really think about it, I still see vivid pictures of those people on the sands who were marching in those orange uniforms, knowing full well that their heads were going to be chopped off. There's joy in that. Joy in knowing that you're serving Christ. That is the joy. There really is no other joy. If you're not serving Christ, if you're not doing what Christ wants us to do, what joy really is there? How long does it last? You know, the new car lasts 3 days till you hit the first neighbor. Back and out. How long does the new wood carving tool last? Lasts until I have to sharpen it again. How long does all this stuff last? Doesn't last. But Christ, the birth of Christ lasts. It goes on forever and forever and regardless whatever happens to each of us. The leg, what does it matter? God is with us. The surgery, what does it matter? God is with us. And we're looking right down the pipe now in the coming weeks and coming months. We're looking right down the pipe at some evil, really evil things in this world. If we dwell on those, then we cannot celebrate Christ's birthday today in joy. If we dwell on the problems we have that are not other people's problems and say, oh my, why me? If we dwell on those, then we can't celebrate Christ's birth and joy. We need to understand that Christ is the one that gives us joy. He gives us the strength to stand firm. He gives us the hope wants us last to stay with it, to be faithful. He gives us all of these things that He promises. And remember, the reason He says that I am with you is because He wants you to understand He really means always, with you, always. And you need to turn to Him, maybe more than other people because your problems are worse than mine, but He's with you. And as long as we understand that doing God's will is where we really get the joy. How many of you remember that first Christmas gift that you got? How many of you remember the one you got last year? How many of you remember Christ born, a